in the beginning, what? God. First verse in the Bible, probably most important verse in the Bible. If you don't believe the first verse in the Bible, you will not believe the second all the way to Revelation 22. And it's so important. This week is on the creation week. This week is on the flood. This week is on Noah. And it's neat to have those characters in the Bible, but we really believe them. And it's so, so important to catch that. Turn with me to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. Everybody, it is important that we grasp the meaning of this. In the beginning, God. That says a lot. And then in the beginning, God. He's from the beginning. He is the beginning. He was the beginning. He is the beginning of the beginning. God created heaven and is our planet the center of all the heavens? Yes. With God it is. It's really neat. This is Earth. And this is God's plan. Peopled planet. And this is God's plan. The 6 days of creation. Look at them here. The 6 days of creation. You're going to be studying that this week. And it's really neat to realize which day. Day one, day two, day three. And it's neat. Verse 28. Genesis 1, verse 26. Everybody look at verse 26. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." He wanted us to be like him. He wanted someone to have fellowship, relationship, to love, to be loved. Now, and he put him in the garden and he walked with them every day. And at the end of life, the millennium is going to be like the garden again. And then heaven is just going to be us and God. And it's going to be a relationship. That's why God created people. Look at verse 27. Verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them." Is that right? He wanted, "Love me. Fellowship with me." Verse 31. "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was" what? "Very good." Very good. This is God's plan, and it's so neat. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. We're going to flow all the way to chapter 6, because all of our events at VBS happen in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 2, all the days of creation. On the seventh day, he did what? He rested. It was finished. He did it all. The Bible says in Exodus that in 6 days God created the heavens and earth. Is that what it says? It doesn't say in six eons. It says 6 literal days God created the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day he rested. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. Everybody look at it. "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." Aren't you glad God did all that? Don't you love to look at all the lush greenery we have today and the trees and just realize God made us to enjoy, made all of that for us to enjoy. "And for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good." This is the first negative statement in all the Bible. Of good and what? Evil. Now, Satan has already fallen here, so pride has already happened in heaven, and sin in heaven has already happened, and there is evil. That is anything opposite of good. That's anything opposite of what's right, what's truth, and is evil. That is the opposite of God. That's our flesh. And he put him in the Garden of Eden. Chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody flow with me. Chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis 3, it says, "Now the serpent," verse 1, "was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field, and he came up to the woman." And he, note what he says here. And he said, said to the woman, and the woman says, "Hey, you know, we can eat of every tree." And he says, "Hath God said?" He's just trying to throw a negative thought in there. Satan had been cast to the earth, entered into the serpent, and the serpent is talking to Eve, and she tells him, "No, we can't eat of that tree." And then in verse 3, another negative word that's first time mentioned in the book of, in the Bible, Genesis 3, verse 3. It says, "We're not to eat of the tree, we're not to touch the tree, lest we," what? "Die." There was no death, there was no evil at this time. And the temptation was there. And the serpent said, "Surely God's not going to do that." And he tempted her, and she ate of the tree, and they knew good and evil. And the fall came. Since there is a fall, since there is everyone a sinner, a Savior is going to come. And that's the neat part about it. We sinned, and there's a Savior, and it's wonderful to realize that God had a plan. I want you to note something's interesting. Chapter 3, verse 22. Everybody look at it. Chapter 3, verse 22. They had sinned, they had knew, now they know good and evil. They have an old nature. Now they know how to get mad. Now they know how to lie. Is that right? It's there. And so it says, now, he says, since they know good and evil, okay, he drove them out. I want you to read verses chapter 3, verse 22, 23, 24. He drove them out of the garden. He drove them out of the garden is the most merciful act he could, because if they ate of the tree of life after they sinned, they would be sinners what? Forever. And he drove them out of the garden, not as a mean statement, but as an act of love, because if they ate of the tree of life, they'd be sinners forever. Now, since he drove them out, and he says, "Now I can save them." That it really blessed me afresh this week when I read that. Wow, God's got a plan, and it's a loving plan, and it's wonderful that now he can save us. They did not eat of the tree of life, and he drove them out. Chapter 4 is the line of Cain. I never realized this. This was refreshing. Not refreshing, but it was enlightening. Chapter 4 of Cain, just to flow through it, you know, they had Cain and Abel. Verses 1 and 2. And they fought and killed one another. I love it here that God is merciful. God set a plan. Love me. Have a relationship with me. Talk with me. Worship me. Let's enjoy one another. Let's walk. Let's talk. And then they sinned. He put one thing, they sinned. And then he drove them out so they wouldn't stay sinners. And then he started working with both Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve and their family. Cain brought a sacrifice that wasn't worthy of God. I just love it where it says, and the, you know, Cain, verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Cain," he brought this wrong offering, and God says, okay. He said, "Cain, why," verse 4, Genesis 4, 4, verse 6, excuse me, Genesis 4, verse 6, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance falling?" Why are you sad? "If thou do well," you know, get your sacrifice that's the right one, "shalt not thou be accepted?" And the answer is yes. Do right, Cain. "And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." It's wanting in. "And unto thee shall be his desire." Sin wants to mess you up. "But thou shalt rule over him." Cain, don't sin. Did God love Cain? Did God love us all? It's wonderful to catch that. And Cain, he just got angry, and his flesh and his evil and his deeds, he slew his brother. And then the Lord in verse 9 says, and the Lord said unto Cain again, you know, where's your brother? Did God know where his brother was? Yeah, all the time. And he says, am I my brother's keeper? And he says, wow. Note verse 11. Thou art cursed from the earth. And God curses Cain. As much as we can tell, he cursed the line of Cain, and they became evil men. And he's a fugitive and a vagabond, a homeless wanderer. And then Cain in verse 13 says, my punishment is too much for me. Was God still merciful? Did God still reach out to Cain? Yes. Aren't you glad God keeps reaching out to you and me? That really hit me, that God created a perfect world and gave us free choice. And he says, love me. I don't want to make you robotic. Love me. And he put one no issue, the tree of knowledge. Don't eat of that tree. They ate of that tree. He still reaches out to them to keep them from the garden so they wouldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and be a sinner forever. And then they had children which were sinners. And Abel did right, but Cain did wrong. And God reached out to Cain, reached out to Cain, reached out to Cain. Is that right? Aren't you glad he does that to you and me? That's one reason we're having VBS. We want to reach out to people again and again and again. And God was trying to reach Cain, and he said, Cain, he says, I love it again here, in verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, nobody's going to kill you. He said, everybody's going to kill me. The Bible says he put a mark on Cain. We do not know what that mark was. But he put a mark on Cain that if anybody should kill him, they should be killed and suffer sevenfold. And to realize, wow. The entire chapter 4 of Genesis is the line of Cain. You see all the line. It gives all the sons, and they were great men, farmers, the arts, the industry. And this is the family of Cain. And then, let me state that before I leave. Is God a merciful God? Is God also a just God? I want you to see his mercy is so much here in the first chapters of Genesis. But he's going to be just in Genesis chapter 6. He's going to destroy the whole world. And then in chapter 4, we see the line of Cain. At the end of chapter 4, we have a beautiful statement. I love chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Let's all look at it. I just love this verse, and I just love it. It says, And to Seth. It says this, verse 26. And to Seth, he to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Note, it wasn't Cain's line, it was Seth's line. Abraham and Eve, or Cain, Adam and Eve had Abel. Cain killed Abel. Then they had Seth. And God started working with people. Cain's refused, and they were cursed, and they didn't walk with God. But thank God we had somebody that walks with God. Amen. You know, we are not the majority. As you drove to church this morning, did you pass all kinds of cars like you did pass yesterday? When you drive on Sunday morning, nobody's out. Is that true? It's just empty. Nobody's going to church. It's a lost desire. And then somebody started walking with God. I just love the name of Seth. And because people started walking with God, talking with God. And he says, man, this is wonderful that people started calling upon the name of the Lord. We have the line of Seth. All of chapter 5 is the line of Seth. And that's it starts with Adam and Seth and goes all the way. And it's pretty neat here. Look at chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. And these, you know, God started working with the generations of Adam, the generations of Seth, and God blessed them. And they were made in the image of God, and he called him Seth. And he starts a godly line. Chapter 4 is the ungodly line of Cain. Chapter 5 is the godly line of Seth. And it's really neat that people started walking with God. I'm glad you're here this morning because you're trying to walk with God. Children, one at the second grade to sixth grade. You have parents that have you here, grandparents that have you here. Somebody's trying to walk with God in your family. And there's a lot of people not walking with God, and now we have people that are trying to walk with God. Do you think God's up there smiling and saying, "That's my boy, Seth. That's my boy." And the line of Seth. And there's not much said about all these guys in the line of Seth until we get to Enoch there, and he walked with God. But these people started walking with God. And if you want to know, in Genesis chapter 5, I'm certain that you're going to do this in the week, in the VBS week, is the number. See at the number at the top of the page up there, it says eternity and the flood. If you do the math problem, go home and do the math problem, teenagers and children, if you've never done it, add and subtract. From Adam all the way to Noah to the flood is 1,656 years. Isn't that neat? The Bible says it distinctly. And you add and subtract there, 1,656 years is between Adam and the flood, and you realize God's got a time. It wasn't billions and billions, is that right? It was 1,656 years, and we see God had a plan. And he has the family of Cain doing wrong, cursed. The family of Seth, the son of Adam and Eve, blessed. Huh? And we got blessed people. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. We have a statement of the sons of God, verse 2, marrying the daughters of men. And some hold that those sons of God are angels. I hold that they're the line of Cain. And the sons of God, the line of Seth, marrying the daughters of men, the line of Cain. And intermingling godly people with ungodly people. Are you to marry an ungodly person? Are you to marry an unsaved person? I've had people to say, "Preacher, I never heard you say that we weren't to marry unsaved people." Well, I want you to hear me. We're to marry godly people, saved people, not just ones that talk it, but live it. Huh? Marry up, marry good, marry godly, marry holy. Is that right? Children, boys and girls, that's so important. And they intermingled here and evil started. And God, look at verse 3. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he is also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. In 120 years from this statement, the flood came, okay? Noah was building a flood for 120 years, and God is still merciful. He says, "I'm going to give him 120 years, and then I'm going to destroy him." Is God merciful? Is God just? One thing our world doesn't catch today, we've got a God of love. And they've forgotten we have also a God of justice. We have a God that is patient. We also have a God that is holy. And if we not forget it, we just have a lovey-dovey up there that doesn't really mean what he says. It's not the Ten Commandments, it's just the Ten Suggestions. No. Is, you know, what, somehow everybody's going to go to heaven. No. If you don't trust Jesus, you go to hell.
That's right.
And it's very important that we gather that, and that's the Bible. He is patient. He is merciful. He is gracious. He spent time with Cain. Cain, don't do that! And then after Cain did it, Cain, yeah, I can't take it. Nobody's going to kill. You know, he was merciful. Merciful. He drove him out of the Garden of Eden just to be merciful. And he's merciful here. I'm going to give you 120 years before I destroy you. Heavy stuff. Matthew, come up and read for us Genesis 6, verses 5 to 13. Genesis 6, verses 5 to 13.
Genesis 6, 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth.
That is a heavy statement. It's a heavy statement. Violence, all the corruption of our day, and to realize that God says the corruption is there. Before I go into the corruption, it says here that in verse 6, it grieved him into his heart, God. God had a broken heart. Do y'all realize that? In the beginning, God created what? Heaven and earth. He loves earth. Put people here, real people, and gave them a choice to love him. He wanted somebody to love him. And they messed up, and he still was merciful. Is that right? And in the future, he would send Jesus to be their Savior. And then he gave them 120 years. And he put Noah there to preach to them for 120 years, and they did not repent. He broke his heart. If we would realize how much sin and sin in our culture and people doing wrong and our culture doing wrong hurts the heart of God, we would work harder to do right. And it hurts the heart of God. Let me state this. You being here this morning and trying to do right and all of this, trying to reach a world for Christ, it makes him smile. Do you know every night this week, God's going to be up in heaven going, those are my people in Elkhart. See them. They're trying to do right. I want you to catch that while you're doing this week. Whether you're having the crafts or whether you're making the cookies, you got to see some of the cookies in there. There's a pot of cookies in there. They're all in my office. that are too beautiful to eat. They are too beautiful to eat, but I will eat them. Okay. God's going to smile this week at everything and every sacrifice you give, everything you surrender, everything you commit, all the service. He's going to smile. He loves people doing right by free choice and trying to do it together for God's honor. Amen. That's why this week is so great. And I challenge you to be here every night. Even if you don't have a job, we will get you something. And we need people to talk to some kids getting saved. We need to keep people to pray with children. Please come. God just sits up there and just smiles. That's my boy. That's my girl. Is that right? That's one. Sin broke God's heart. And he said in his justice, I'm going to destroy the earth. Man. broke his heart. Corruption comes to the earth and just messed everything up. And I just wanted to show you here, it says, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Man. The world that started with the group of Cain that was cursed, the group of Seth that was blessed, then they intermarried and it became a mess, and only Noah's ending up good. Only Noah and his three sons and their three wives and Noah's wife, that's eight people out of millions of people. Aren't you glad? How many people would have God spared Sodom and Gomorrah for? 10. Do you know why God is sparing America? Is that right? Please understand that. You're the only reason. Should God punish America? Oh man, oh man. Why isn't He? Because of God's people. And feel good about that. That is a good pride. It's not bad to realize, wow, I'm going to do right. I'm going to do my best to get my children to do right. I'm going to do best to get my children's children to do right. Is that right? I'm going to do my best to get my neighbors to do right. I'm going to do my best to get the people I work with to do right. Is that right? I'm going to walk through this world and I'm going to try to point people to Jesus as humbly and as clearly and as patiently as I possibly can. Is that right? And I'm going to try to lead by example. And when I sin, He'll forgive me. I repent. He'll forgive me. If I fall, He can lift me up. Say amen. And He can restore me and revive me and fire me up again. It is so important that we realize that, wow, in the midst of our corrupt world, I have some statistics here, and it just says, which American institution is the most corrupt? 38% says the federal government's the most corrupt. 17% says the news media is next. 16% says the banks and the financial institutions. And then 7% says organized religion. Huh? Most corrupt. And you realize, wow. Did you read in the paper this week that Elkhart is listed in the most safe cities in America? Did anybody see that? What number are we? Out of 100, what number are we? 94. We are 6 from the bottom. Only Indianapolis was worse than us. Gary was worse than us, okay? And Elkhart, you know, we're of the 100 cities in Indiana, Elkhart was the 94th most unsafe city in our state. And you go, wow. That's why we're here, folks, huh? People need Jesus, huh? That's something, don't fall away from that. We have a world that needs the Lord. The biggest things in America, in their day, it just says that they lost sight of God. The godly seed of Seth started mingling with the ungodly seed, and everybody became ungodly, and they gave themselves up to lust. Is that right? To all kinds of lust and to the sins of lust. Put the first one up there. To lust and just infidelity. There was a moral landslide. Today we have abortion and all kinds of the transgender and all kinds of adultery. Is that right? Just a lustful moral landslide, and they were just morally corrupt. They were saying they had no moral compass. What was right they called wrong, and what was wrong they called right. They had no absolutes, just lust, fleshly desires. Secondly, there would be cheating. Do you know cheating is a big thing today? Cheating, bribery, and lying, dishonesty, deceitfulness, that should not be a part of us, huh? There was a day in America where people were honorable and honest. Is that right? Shake your hand. And just all kinds of degradation and degenerating of people. Thirdly is greed. Just fame and power and money and excess possessions. Just a desire to acquire more and more and to fill our empty lives. They want to feel rich but not have the wisdom from God, and to live in a generation that is just not having a positive influence, and they want to be like the world instead of changing the world. And Americans don't work to live. They work to stuff their homes with Chinese made products that do not and will not, when they die nobody wants them. And you say, my greed. Fourth one is sloth, is just laziness, just entitlement, and just failure to do things that we should do. And this comes with overeating and excess, a lack of self-control. But the worst sloth is spiritual. Just lazy spiritually. And then number five is wrath, anger, hatred, violence. Do we have a land of violence? We just had another murder here this week. That's why our city is going down. And to realize that, to catch that, and to bless, and to violence. And they have no purpose, no real meaning of life. They're mad at life. They have inordinate and uncontrollable feelings of anger and wrath and hatred. Wrath in its purest form presents just self-destruction, just angry people. They need Jesus, huh? That's all I want you to catch from this. Number six is envy, jealousy, discontent, inferiority. See someone fall on their face. They just want somebody. They just want envy. They want to get even. And that is just killing our country. And lastly is pride. Just all about me. Self-reliance. Me first. Self-importance. I don't need God. I'm just in love with me and just what I can do, and just the personal self. Do we live in a land of wickedness? We do. My question here, does this wickedness affect us? I have a paper back there. I've printed up, I think I printed up 50 of them. This is a paper I got from David Wilkerson, written in the 1980s. And it says, am I developing an appetite for worldly things? It just states that we live in an unclean world, a wicked world, an immoral world, a violent world. How is it affecting us? It affects all of us. And it seeps into our lives. This wickedness is seeping in. We're developing appetites for it. It's wearing the saints down. This moral landslide is just killing us. This evil generation has already caused numbers of Christians to compromise, indulge in ungodly practices. We slowly give in to it. Things we wouldn't watch a generation ago, we're watching with acceptance now. Is that true? Let's all shake our heads. We allow too much to come in, and we have one thing. I have a paragraph I want to read. I want you all to get this. This is written not by me, but David Wilkerson in the 1980s. It says, the world can change me only when my inner man is cold or lukewarm. The sin and filth all around can affect me only when my soul is dry and empty. When the soul is on fire with love for God, when the mind is lifted in prayer and praise, when the Word of God is afresh and alive in the heart, no demon, no devil from hell can touch or influence me. No worldly pleasure can entice me. No ungodly crowd can draw me away. Nothing Satan prays before my eyes can allure me, because I am alive with the power of God's holy presence. Good stuff. Good stuff. Get you a copy of this back there. It is very, very important that we realize that we live in this world. We hate all of this evil, but we are not careful, it seeps into our lives and we start compromising and we start developing an appetite for worldliness and ungodliness. Is that true? Let's all admit that. Please get a paper back there. It's right back on the communion table. And you realize that, man, we must realize that and fight it like the plague that we don't fall into all these things. God destroyed the entire world. It had already existed for 1,000, it's not up there right now, 1,656 years. Is that right? And God says, it's over. Done. I'm finished. I'm looking for a godly person. Do you know that's what God's always done? He created Adam and Eve and he was looking for them. He found Abel, huh? Is that right? And Cain killed him. And then they had another child, Seth. And then God, he started responding to God. And God was saying, yes. And then Seth had Enoch and Enoch walked with God. Is that right? And down the line, and then he found Noah. Whoa. I want you to know in the text here in Genesis 6, in the text we have, it says that he was the only one. Let me catch you that here. In verse 9, Genesis 6, verse 9, and it says, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. One translation says, he was the only one walking with God. You feel that way sometime? I want you to know, look around, you're not. Is that pretty good? That's why it's great to meet. That's why it's great to do what we're going to do this week. And you realize, we're trying to change this old world. Do you know if we could have all Elkhart catch what we're trying to teach this week, it would change Elkhart? There are many, many churches having the Answers in Genesis program. Northside just had it last week. McCoy Baptist just had it last week also. That's wonderful because this old city needs Jesus. And you're meeting people. They meeting people. You need to keep praying for it. It's happening all over America. We need to pray that God's Spirit touches people because if not, the old ship's going to go down. And it's really neat to realize that you're the reason it's being spared. Remember that. And he was the only one. And he said, then it says, Noah, verse 8, let's all read it. Verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 8. Let's all read together. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I trust you are experiencing that. That you're finding favor, that you're finding blessing. Now, yes, you struggle with certain things of life, and when other evil people do things, you come into that. But I want you to know God's involved in your life. I get to see it a little bit here and there every day, and you realize God's involved. God's here. God's here. God's here. God's with me when I go to work. God's with me when I go to school. God's with me when I'm at home. God's with me when I'm doing something, and you realize God's here. And Noah, the whole world, if it weren't for Noah doing right, we would not be here today. Because we are all descendants from Noah. All of us are brothers and sisters from Noah. And we realize, wow, if it wasn't for Noah. I want teenagers, children, I want you to understand that doing right is the key to America. Doing right is the hope of America. Doing right is the help of people. Unless people trust Jesus as their Savior, they go to hell. And this is so important that we say, God, help me to remember that. Help me not to forget that people need the Lord. Noah was there. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. You've seen pictures. This is a picture here. This is from 2 Peter chapter 2. It says he was a preacher of righteousness. Noah built the ark for 120 years, and people made fun of him the entire time. And he preached at him. Nobody responded. if he had VBS, nobody came. And you realize, wow, he and his boys and their wives was it, and nobody responded. And he preached. He was the preacher. A sad thing in Matthew 24. I have it up here. It's a sad verse. It says, Matthew 24, verse 37-39, the days of Noah that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. It was normal life. It was going to go on forever. Is that what we feel like in America? It's going to go on forever. Just normal. No fear of God. No noticing that something's coming. And here this man is building a boat. And James has graciously told us how big our boat is, the ark is. It goes all the way to the barn, to the front row. Wide as the church, as tall as our trees. If you'll walk around, I think we're going to do that this week. Take a walk around. The church, it's got there's a red line. It's got a little curve to it, but it's pretty cool. But that's how big the ark is, and the trees. It was 45 feet tall, and it was 75 feet wide. It was 450 feet long. Okay, and it is the perfect vessel in stats. It is 30 times 3 times 5. Okay, that's the perfect floating vessel proportion. That is amazing. God did it. Isn't that cool? What God does works. Still working today. The perfect proportionate of a floating vessel. And he says this, but they were just living a normal day. Catch this. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Do you feel that way sometimes? Nobody's listening. People need the Lord. People needed the Lord in Noah's day, and he spent 120 years preaching and building, and nobody listened, and they did not catch it until it all came, and God shut the door. Is that who shut the door? God shut the door, okay? And until God shut the door, they could have entered, but they did not. Only 8 people. And we need to realize that people need the Lord. And you're here and you're trying to do right. And we got a program that's trying to do right. And I encourage you this afternoon. Has it stopped raining? Stopped raining. And go get another person. We have 120 registered. And go bring another person. Another family. People need the Lord. Let's read it here. Let's read it together. Every day they pass me by. I see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care. Headed who knows where. On they go through private pain. Living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries that only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. Is that right? Let's read the chorus. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will they realize that people need the Lord? We can't make them get saved, huh? But this week we are trying our best to get them to come here and hear how to have salvation safe in the ark of God, huh? And that's the goal. The goal is to teach them on Monday to stand for God. On Tuesday is the second one here. What's it say, second one? Obey God. And the third one is trust God. The goal is that we lead them to Christ on Wednesday. Y'all know that? That's pretty neat. And then, or on Tuesday, and on Wednesdays, trust God, and on Thursdays, fear God. That's great. It's a great plan. And this is what we're doing. People need the Lord. Pray. Lord Jesus, we give this week to you. Lord, give us strength for the week as only you can. And then, Lord, revive our souls. Let us see your hand moving in our midst. And Lord, it's wonderful to try to do something for heaven's sake that's going to be rewarded for all eternity. Lord, bless the people. Energize them, and Lord, bring some people out that we can see saved and walk with God. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Bless one another. See you tonight.